Hey, good morning. We're starting a new, we're going back to what we started a long time ago. So let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to read from chapter 1. I'm going to apologize because the next time we do 1 Peter 2, it'll be like two Tuesdays later on, okay? So just bear that in mind, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient Christians, or obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope in God. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purify your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you. Amen. So, the text here, in Peter, obviously Peter is the one that's writing this, and there's almost there's almost no discussion on this topic whatsoever. It's pretty clear. Some other books of the Bible, there's actually quite a bit of discussion about who wrote this. You know, was it this person's maybe a writer that wrote this and whatnot? But in Peter, it's quite clear that Peter wrote this, and probably in Rome. And to get an idea of what's going on here, that there are, in the early church, there were three distinct periods of persecution after Christ. And the first one was under Nero. And it wasn't known at the time, but you guys know kind of some of the history. Nero actually burned the city of Rome. But it wasn't found out until much later on who the people blamed for the burning of Rome was actually Christians, or what they call this new sect called the Way. And it was, I mean, just tremendous amount of persecution that you wouldn't even believe. So much so that some Roman scholars and writers and historians will write that actually people in Rome, some actually felt very sorry for the Christians, for the Way. It would be like today, if you can imagine, I mean, put in our context, something like Falun Gong that you see out in Hong Kong somewhere, and you would see the government persecuting them so badly that the common people actually start feeling sorry for them. Actually, the church in Rome was considered weirder than the Falun Gong people, if you can imagine that. And I actually don't really know much about Falun Gong, but it's just the first thing that came into my mind. And so it was three distinct periods. It was through Nero, Domitian, and then Trajan later on. But Nero's was really, really, and historians will say he was actually a madman. And so what was happening, and Peter is writing in this context of a tremendous amount of persecution to the Christians in Rome. But the letter he's writing to, he's actually writing to people that are in Asia Minor, particularly these cities are actually what we consider today modern-day Turkey. And so think about this, and this is one aspect that he'll touch about a little bit later on, is if you're worship some pagan idol, let's say someone in the first century, someone like ISIS, and you worship ISIS, number one, you're not really going to get persecuted. So that goes without saying. Number two, they're not going to be that concerned about people that are hundreds of miles away in a whole other province, another people group. It just doesn't exist, and there wouldn't be any concern about other people that are worshipers of ISIS in another area or whatnot. But what Peter and Paul and the writers are trying to do, they're trying to talk about this living organism that's called a church. That what happens in Rome affects the believers in Asia Minor. What happens in our context, what happens to the Christians in Beijing affects the Christians in Hong Kong. What happens to the Christians in Egypt and persecution should affect Christians in the United States. The church is this incredibly living organism. It's one body. And this is something in the pagan world that just did not exist. There was no concept of this oneness. And so that's why you'll have Peter in Rome overseeing, and if I don't really have time to develop this thought, but he primarily became the pillar, and that's what Paul actually will call him, that the pillar of the church, but also a pillar, but one among equals with the other apostles. And so we see Peter take this up, this leadership position, and so he's in many ways kind of overseeing this incredible persecution that's happening, or trying to minister to in this church. But then he's writing to these believers in Asia Minor because they're also going through persecution. Not to the same effect in Rome, but in their area as well. And you can see the tone in Peter's work, especially in the first chapter. What I suggest to you, and again, I'm going to apologize because it's going to probably take us a month to get over 1 Peter, just because my travel schedule is going to hit, you know, high steam soon. But when you see this, one of the things that you have to, I would suggest to you, is just read it all the way through. It's only five chapters. Okay, read this whole thing through and get the theme and idea, and you'll notice things like. He talks about hope a lot. He'll talk about mercy quite a bit. He'll talk about foreknowledge of God. And just think of how important those words or those phrases or those thoughts are in light of a church that is being persecuted. In other words, you're going through a hard time. And so when you're going through a difficult time, what are some of the things you're going to think about? Like, God, why are you doing this? And then you recognize it's actually the foreknowledge of God, but it's also a hope. And we were stuck in Paul for so long. Now when Peter is writing about this, he's writing about hope, and the way that he is defining hope, it's not some wishfulness. You know, some of us have this kind of hope that I hope or I wish things would get better. You guys understand? And we have this idea like, man, I hope I get married. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I hope I do. Peter's idea of hope is actually a certain reality that's about to come. It's totally different. It's not wishful thinking. it's based on the promises of God, on the word of God, that no, God's going to come through. God's going to be the one. God's going to be the warrior for us. And we see that it's based on this blessed assurance that God is in control. God is in charge. That's why I can hope. Whereas in many other, for a lot of other people, and especially in, you know, driving into the church was like this wishful thinking. Well, kind of, I hope things get better. Do you guys understand the difference? Even for Peter, the idea of salvation, to Peter, is particularly when he's writing in 1 Peter, salvation is in many ways not necessarily a now thing. Peter sees salvation as a future work. Now, it's both, okay? So I'm just giving you Peter's interpretation, and which kind of will help us throughout the rest of the book. His interpretation of salvation is actually a future event that's about to take place. Of course, salvation is now, but what Peter is emphasizing in his writing is actually talking about when we go to see Jesus, and that's going to be the work of salvation in our life. And so just to give you an idea, because when you're going through things, difficult things, I mean, what some of the advice always is, look to the future. There's a future before you. I had lunch with a brother in our church, is just going through a lot of difficult things, you know, and my, I mean, what can you say in a lot of these things? My advice over and over again said, brother, this too shall pass, right? Things are going to get better. See, we always look to this hope of later on, just endure in this season. Because there's a hope, there's something coming, there's lessons, and there's life, and there's redemption, and reconciliation, whatever, coming your way. That's generally considered pretty decent advice. And so that's really what Peter's doing in this place. Okay, so let's look at some of the things here in chapter 1. The first off is if you look at the outline, it's comfort and reassurance in suffering. And we need this. We need comfort and reassurance in our suffering. And if you are going through a trying season right now, if you're going through a difficult time, the word of the Lord for you is comfort and reassurance. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I mean, it's a long, one running sentence, but you'll notice some things. First of all, Peter, even though in the book of Acts and in Galatians, Paul will write that Peter was sent to minister to the Jews and that Paul was going to go to the Gentiles. In Galatians, Paul writes that that's kind of the delineation of duties that came upon these particular apostles. But yet, we'll see later on that Peter here, a couple of chapters later, I think chapter 2, will talk about you were once not a people, but now you are a people. And so now he's actually referring to, so he's speaking to Jews and Gentiles, but the primary language he's going to use is actually Jewish. And so he'll use phrases like this, like, who are chosen, sprinkled with his blood. And this will be in very much the idea of Passover, where the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. And so Peter will use a lot of Jewish imagery because he's a Jewish person primarily ministering to Jewish people. But like I said, in 1 Peter, the message is not just to Jews. And primarily, if you look at the Pontus, Galatia, and all these, he's primarily ministering to Gentile converts who became Christians in all this context. And so again, he's talking about this mercy of God who's given us this living hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's hope that is alive in us, that it's based on the assurance of God. It's based on the word of God. And so I, as a reflection this morning, I wonder, What is your hope based on? What if you're going through a time, what is the foundation or the grounding of the hope that is within you? Is this idea like, well, I don't know, I just wish something would happen? Or is it founded on the word of God and the mercy of God and the goodness of God, that all of his people are chosen by God? There's the foreknowledge of the Lord, and he's going to lead them through this place. There's the great idea. And maybe this will be helpful to you. This is helpful to me. Whenever I go through some trying times or I have to deal with difficult people just asking, what should I do? I always go back to John, but also Psalm 23. And I go back to the shepherd passages. And when you're confused about the future, you know what I do? I just simply sit down and just say, you know what, Lord, I'm just a dumb sheep at the end of the day. Even though there's a lot of pressure on me to perform or to give the right counsel or to give the right advice, I always come back to, and this is kind of my foundation, Lord, I'm just a dumb sheep, right? I don't know what to do. I'm just bleeding, you know, bah, bah, bah. Everyone don't know where to go. But Lord, you're the good shepherd. And I go through the John passages, and then I go back to Psalm 23. You know, for I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But it's the idea, and especially in dark moments, I hope this ministers to you. In dark moments, you always recognize what David is talking about. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, there's two phrases in there that are just, actually three if you really break it down. The idea that he walks through, right? He doesn't run through. In other words, the shepherd recognizes that this season of his life is God ordained, and so he's not going to rush through it. He's going to walk, but he's going to walk through it. He's not going to get stuck in the valley. And I think the reason why he's able to walk and he's know he's going through is the other word, the shadow, because it's just the shadow of death. It's not death. It's just the shadow of death, right? I mean, a gun can kill you, but a shadow of a gun can't kill you. You know what I mean? A knife can kill you, but a shadow of a knife can't kill you. And all the enemy possesses is just an illusion. It's just a shadow of danger, a shadow of death. That I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I said, I fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so there's this idea in these difficult moments of that, hey, it's not real. You guys remember I've taught and I talked about fear. There's a great acronym, F-E-A-R. It's false evidence appearing real. That's the only thing the enemy has on us. False evidence appearing real. But see, David knew that he was the good shepherd and he was going to lead them through. And he was going to turn this disaster or this difficulty or this brokenness, and he's going to turn it around, and he says, and he sets a table before me, before in the presence of my enemies, right? And in other words, you see that the shepherd is going to totally reverse this whole situation. And this is why we have hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's a living hope within us. It's God, you're going to come through. You're going to redeem it. And something's going to be totally turned around. And if you want to see the most perfect picture of what that means, it's actually going from God Friday to Resurrection Sunday. Darkness covers the earth. All of everything seems lost. And then the hope of resurrection. I mean, not many people have it. And Jesus rises again. He actually does exactly what he said he would do, and incredible things begin to happen in the lives of the apostles. I mean, life has changed around, and this is the hope that's within every single one. It's the living hope. Why? Because it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the resurrection that gives every single one of us hope. And so this is a powerful imagery, because not only is it talking about Jesus and his resurrection, but what do you usually need resurrection from? Death. And so you may seem like you're dying and death may be there, but there is always resurrection for those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we have hope. We have a God who cares for us and loves us. And we may be going through a season, but we need to endure this season, just like he's telling these guys, look, there's persecutions coming. I mean, your brothers and sisters are being literally torn apart in stadiums by lions and crucifixion, mass. I mean, Origen and others will write about thousands of Christians were crucified at the same time in public view, and just the worst things would happen to these believers because they put their faith in the way. And yet, in spite of that, don't worry, there is a hope, because where there's death, there's always resurrection. And I want to say to you guys this morning in that way, if there's any death that you're going through, either through your own doing or something done upon you or a season of God's working in your life, listen, there's always resurrection. And so there's always cause and hope for this living hope within us. It's this born again nature. And so he reminds them as he continues on. So it's the reassurance, right? Comfort and reassurance. And then it's the reassurance of the realized fact of Jesus in his gospel. And then he finishes off this chapter with the reassurance in divinely bought holiness of life. And so there's this comfort and reassurance of Christ's resurrection. And then there's a reassurance that comes to us by living a godly life. So he turns and says, so you be holy. Right? Don't waver now in this thing, and don't be like, ah. And then this isn't what happens. Things get difficult. Ah, forget this Christian thing. Right? Forget following Jesus. I'm just going to do what I want to do now. I forget, oh, this is too hard. I followed God, and I'm just being persecuted, and all these things are happening. I'm just going to go out and do what I normally do. I don't care. I'll go sleep with anybody. I'll rip anybody off. You know, I'll just go get drunk with my friends and do what I did before. And Peter's like, no, don't go back to those ways. Continue to be holy, because there's an assurance there as well by living a godly life, because he is holy. Okay? I think I'm running out of time. So let's close our eyes. It's comfort and assurance. Comfort and assurance. The assurance of the resurrection and the work of Jesus. And the assurance that comes from living a holy life. Oh, I should just make this one note. In verse 23, it says, you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and abiding word of God. So it talks about these two seeds, these two births, these two natures. The corruptible seed, or the perishable, was out of our Adamic nature. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Listen, you are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. Okay? It's our nature. But he gives us incorruptible seed. It's amazing. It's like this exchange that happens. So let's take a moment. If you're going through a difficult time today, I know it's like the worst thing you want to hear, but praise God. Praise God. Something is happening. Something is going on. There's a breaking and a wounding, but you're going through. Don't try to run. Just walk through. Recognize whatever it is, it's just a shadow. God wants to give you the real thing. And let's pray. And I pray that hope, real hope, what Peter calls living hope, will arise in your hearts. Not based on wishful thinking, but based on what Jesus Christ has already done for you and what he promises to do for you. And so let's draw near to this hope as we sing this morning.
secret of your presence I know. Here I am restored. When you call, I won't refuse. Each new day your sovereign still. In the moment of my weakness, you give me grace to do your crucified to set me free. Oh, I live to be free. All of my hope is in you, Lord. All of my strength, all my delight is in you, Lord, forevermore. All my delight is in you, Lord, all of my hope and all of my strength. All my delight is in you, Lord, forevermore. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. Crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you free. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. Crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring you praise.
Let's go before the Lord, huh? Let's make sure that all of our hope is in Him. that if you are going through a season, like I mentioned, place your hope in Him. He will come through. He will deliver. He tells us in 1 Timothy, even if you're faithless, He says, I remain faithful, for I cannot deny Himself. He cannot fail us. It goes against His very nature. And so let's place our hope in Him. Maybe you're not going through a season, but you know someone else around you that is. Let's spend this time right now to pray for them. Ask God to give them a living hope, birth and foundation upon Jesus and what He's done. Well, let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends and family members that are going through the suffering of cancer. Let's pray for them, for God's healing word. Let's pray for the doctors that are ministering and operating on our friends and parents, and pray for the ones that are going through chemotherapy, and also the Chungs. And if you're unfamiliar, the Chungs are missionaries in China. This is their brother-in-law who's still looking for a bone marrow match. And so let's just continue to lift up these people on this list. Let's pray for those that are ill, but more than anything that need that word of salvation. Pray for people to come into their lives that would minister to them, that will be the living example of Christ and would provide an opportunity for them to know and receive Jesus into their lives, as well as healing over their bodies. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are going through illnesses that are not cancer related. Let's ask God's healing hand to come over them, and it's the people to come and support and really encourage them in the midst of their pain that they're going through. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's ask God to open doors for them. And then in the time that they have, that they will use it wisely to really spend time with the Lord and really develop what God wants to do in their lives. But let's really pray for open doors and the community to come around and bless and support them in this season. So our mission prayer focus this morning, and let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing. They just had an incredible weekend last weekend with our Cascade team. Pray for, I think, the 15 people that got ministered to, that there would be a good follow-up with P-SAM and the rest of the staff there. Let's ask God's hand to continue to be with them. Pray for the Chung family as they're on their sabbatical. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, the Basarabas. Pray for Leanne, who's leaving tomorrow to join the Beijing team. I pray for Edie Clark and our kids in Chichihar and the churches. And let's just ask the Lord to continue to just move through China and really use them to really break through with all over Asia. Well, let's just pray. Let's go to our church focus and let's pray for our staff, pray for the pastors and our support people. Pray that we continue to work as a team, there'll be unity and love, and that we work diligently, work with all of our hearts, our soul, our mind, our very being, to really build this church for God's kingdom. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our worship team and our audio-visual team as well. Pray for a heart of worship and serving. Pray for the worship leaders that are leading, Pastor Nate, Hyunsu, Monica, and John Moon. Let's pray for Kenny, who leads the AV. Let's pray that they would really lead us into the presence of God every time they would lead. Let's just lift up and pray for all the musicians and the singers that they would just constantly, not just on Sunday, but all through the week, be making a joyful noise before the Lord. Let's pray for them. So let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's ask God's hand to be with our leaders and as he continues to draw near to them. Pray for a community. Pray that as we discuss the message that God would really draw us into a deeper, humble state. Let's just lift up Bonham, Kowloon, and Lam Kwai Fong on Old Peak Road. Father, we thank you. God, we bless you this morning. We thank you for a living hope, God, that we can abide in. We thank you for your resurrection, God, that secures that hope in every one of our lives, Lord. The future glory, God, regardless of what's going on today, Lord, we're going to go through it, Lord. That you're going to see us to the end, God, and you're going to continue to be faithful. And so we ask you to bless, especially those in our community, God, that are going through some sort of difficulty. Lord, put a living hope within them, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Watch over us the rest of this day, God, as we continue to seek your face, Lord. Prayer is not just this morning, but it's a lifestyle, God. And so help us to be in your presence continually, Lord. Pray without ceasing, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great, great day today. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to you throughout this day. And we'll see you tomorrow.